This is the audio recording to go with the class plan, One Leg Kick, A Plan for Success. And this really ties together our theme that we've been running for this month with the associates, with the virtual night out on posture, and then this class plan. And really, it's about getting people in our classes to do anti-sitting exercises. Because obviously, as we've discussed, they are spending so long sitting or simply not moving that we're really creating so many issues. So the perfect anti-sitting exercise is the one leg kick, but it is incredibly complex and there are many different elements to it which we need to be good at in order to perform the one leg kick. So we want to, in our class, be leading people towards that really good technique in order to perform one leg kick. So for the one leg kick, you need good thoracic mobility, which will then allow you to hold that extension through the thoracic and keep the equality of extension through the spine. So not letting people go straight into the low back, but really keeping the engagement into the thoracic area. We also need to have good shoulder stability, and we need to have good hip extension and tie that together with knee control. So we've got all those elements in there. And what we then do is we can build a class around working towards those elements and perfecting those elements. Well, maybe not perfecting, but getting as close as we can. So if you're looking at the class plan, I've started us off with Mermaid. And we're seated in Mermaid with the right leg in front and the right hand on the floor. Now, you want the elbow to be slightly bent, okay? Then what we do is with the left arm, we take it up. As we exhale, we go over. Now, hold that lateral flexion. And what you do is as you breathe in, you press down slightly into the right hand to really help the left side of the rib cage to fan open even more. So we're really looking to mobilize the thoracic area in the rib cage in that position. And then you slowly release, come back up, and then side bend over to the other side. And again, you can press down this time into the left hand to extend the stretch down the rib cage and the thoracic spine on the right hand side. So both sides, as you take it over, you're looking to use that pressure into the supporting hand to help open up the side that's coming up to the ceiling. Obviously, watch out that the shoulder placement stays good. So keep the crown of the head reaching away and down. And just make sure if you need to keep the elbow soft on that supporting hand, that it stays soft there. Without putting the hands down, then try and get people to change their legs over onto the other side without putting their hands down. And it's just a nice little way of transitioning. We're then going to roll it down onto your side, to come into chest opener. So we're going to have the knees bent, lying onto your side, arms outstretched. Now, you may need to support the head slightly. You could use a mini ball for that or just a towel, just so that the neck doesn't seem to be at that sort of funny angle. But what I need you to make sure is that the knees are bent up at least to 90 degrees. And what this does is it stops your clients as they try and rotate from just going into extension. So having the knees bent up means that the spine would be more likely to slightly flexed, which will then counteract that little cheat that we do of extending as we go over. Now, what I want you to do is you're then going to say, if I'm lying onto my right side first, you're going to take the left arm up to the ceiling. And then I want you to focus on creating a really strong line from the middle of the throat all the way to the fingertips on that left arm. So as you go over, you focus on the rib cage rotating, not how far the arm goes, and you keep that a strong line. So what you'll see, if somebody loses that strong line, the arm goes further than the rib cage has actually gone. And you'll almost see like the sort of break at the shoulder where they lose that really strong line from the middle of the throat to the fingertips. So you really want to focus them on rotating the bottom of the rib cage around and almost forgetting about the arm, where that goes. So a really nice way of doing that as well is you can just bend the arm and put it behind the head. So as they rotate, there's a strong line from the throat to the elbow. And that will actually stop them just taking the stretch into the shoulder rather than encouraging that thoracic movement. So as you can see, those first two are really looking at opening the thoracic spine in side bending and in rotation. And then we come into your shoulder bridge. Now, what I want you to do for your shoulder bridge, this is actually a really lovely variation of shoulder bridge. You come into your normal shoulder bridge position, and then you exhale to flex up through the spine into your bridge. Now, what you need to do is make sure that they've almost got the pelvis either in that really long line or actually that slight posterior tuck. So they're really looking at opening out the hips. Then as you breathe in, press down into the arms to lift the thoracic spine into extension. So the reason why I was quite emphasized the pelvis there is because if they're sort of already coming into an anterior tilt in the pelvis, they're just going to take this extension into the low back. So you've got to almost counteract that by getting them at the top of the bridge to tuck their bottom under. And then when they come into the extension of the upper back, they're going to really find that movement rather than just letting it sit down into the low back. So often I'll say to people, make sure you don't feel this into the low back. So as they're pressing into the arms and extending the thoracics, almost bringing the breastbone towards the nose, also get them to widen the collarbones and almost spin the arms out a little bit. And that'll really help open the chest out. So they've now got this lovely extended position up in their bridge. And then what you do, they don't flex and come back down. You take that extended shape and just lower it down. So their tailbone will hit down first before the rest of the spine. And then you flex through, come up into your bridge again, press into the arms, extend the upper back, the mid back, and then take that shape and lower it down. So you can do that a few times and then reverse it. So when they're back down on the mat, they inhale and allow the weight to go into the tailbone. So the spine starts to extend, press down into the arms, and they've got that beautiful extended shape. And then using the back of the hip, press that extended shape up into the bridge and then flex down towards the mat. So I hope you understand what I'm looking for there, but it's a really beautiful way. It's almost, those of you that do reformer, it's a bit like your semicircle. So when you've done the shoulder bridge, we're then going to take it into your spine stretch with a twist. So we bring ourselves up to seated, and you can have the legs crossed, you can have the legs extended with a slightly bent knee, you can bring them to however they want. You're going to place the hands behind the head. And then as you exhale, you're going to articulate through the spine. So we're going to drop the crown of the head down and almost imagine you're flexing into the spine, not out of the spine. So a really nice cue I use is that imagine there's a pane of glass where the knees are, and you're not going to let yourself go through that pane of glass. So you're not flexing forwards, you're flexing back into yourself. So almost think you're trying to get the crown of the head in between the knees. And then inhale, you're going to come up. And then as you exhale, you're going to rotate towards the right, for example. Inhale back to center. And then we're going to do it again. We're going to flex down through. Inhale, come back up. And exhale, rotate the other way. So you can do that with the spine upright, and then you can challenge people further by taking them into a lean position. So what I mean there is you hinge at the hips forward. So imagine you're sticking the tailbone out and you come to a long flat back. Now that will be very much decided on people's flexibility. So as I say, try not to have the legs straight because it's going to limit where they go. So you lean forwards, but always make sure that the head stays in line with the rest of the spine. So you may need to cue a little bit of backward pressure into the hands with the head to keep the head from just hanging forwards. And then we're going to do the same again. We're going to round forwards. We flex down. Inhale, we come back to that flat back position. And then we rotate here. And it just takes it into a slightly different emphasis. So you're not coming all the way back upright. You're keeping that lovely diagonal line from the tailbone up out through the crown of the head. From there, we take it into your side bend. Now you're gonna sit in your side bend position, but with the knees bent. The hand stays behind the head, so if you do need to give them a little bit of a rest with the hands behind the head, you can do. But the other hand is strong on the floor, fingertips facing away. And then what we do is, as we exhale, we press up into the hand and lift ourselves up into your side bend position. Then, as you inhale, you reach the hand behind the head away. So you come into that more traditional side bend position. And what that does is you'll find an increased stretch all the way down the side of the body. You're then going to bend the hand back behind the head, and you could lower back down. So again, we take it up, the hand stays behind the head, we come up into our side bend position. You then reach the arm overhead further, bend it back in, and lower it back down. Now what you could do is you could hold them in the side bend position and do a few repetitions of the arms straightening in and out, just to really extend the stretch. Obviously you then do the other side, and then we're gonna come into a hip flexor release. So come into a lunge position. So both knees, want the back knee bent, the front foot ahead. Those of you that have been with me this weekend doing the Pilates clinic, you know we're going to focus on the front foot, holding strong into the big toe, little toe and heel, just to stop the knee from rolling in. And then what you're going to do is keep yourself more or less upright. Don't be tempted to lean forwards. Lift yourself upright. And then just think about tucking the tailbone under to find the stretch. So rather than leaning forwards into the stretch where we can too easily cheat, instead think of the upper body staying upright, and you're just going to press that front hip forwards. You may need to use the wall as support if the balance needs a little bit of a hand. And then what you can do is you can add a side bending action into it, or you can take the arms out and rotate. So add movement always to your stretch so that you can, you know, just shift it into a slightly different emphasis. So obviously then do the other side, and then we're ready for your swan dive. Now the swan dive I've chosen, what you're gonna do is lie down onto your front, obviously with the legs together, and we're gonna place the hands under the shoulders and the elbows are up, okay? You're then gonna just hover the nose off your mat. Then as you breathe in, you imagine that I'm just lightly pressing the elbows down, and that will help you peel up through the spine. And the spine just comes for the journey. Now this should have a definite mid-back focus, okay? So really try and watch that you're not just muscling into the arms. You just want that pressure into the elbows to almost float the spine upwards and forwards. Think of the rib cage being drawn forwards and upwards. So that first rib right by the base of the throat is going to come upwards and forwards. Okay, the collarbones stay wide and open. You can always imagine your swan dive as, rather it being a back extension or a back mobilizer, think of it being an opening for the front of the body. And that can just really shift the emphasis and create really nice movement. From there, you come into your swan dive in a twist. So keep, for example, the left hand down, so in the position it was before, so elbow up, hand under the shoulder. But I want you to send the right arm forwards, okay? Now, it's not gonna go fully straight, but take it forwards. So then you do the same movement. You breathe in, you lift into extension. And you're probably, your right arm will go quite straight, the left arm will still be quite bent. But then as you breathe out, I want you to press into your left arm and allow the spine to rotate towards the left, okay? And then we lower back down. So it's a little bit about the positioning. You've got the left hand stays where it is from the previous swan dive. Your right arm goes forward, so it's straighter. And that, what that then allows you is you peel up, and then it can allow you to use your left hand to push down and rotate the spine towards the left. So I hope that's clear. And then obviously you change sides. Coming back into rest position, and then we're gonna come into your side kick. Now we've almost got three levels of this side kick. So first of all, you're resting up onto the elbow, the palms flat down, the body's in the side kick position with the legs hinged forward slightly, okay? Top hand goes behind your head. Now the first stage of this is working on the shoulder stability. So with the hand, with the elbow that's resting down, what you've almost got to imagine is that you're pulling the elbow towards you, and this will really help you engage under. So say I've got my right elbow down, palm flat, I'm drawing the right elbow towards me, and that will help me engage up into the right side and feel that lift under the rib cage and that really nice stability in the shoulder. Okay, and that could be your first work, just holding that position, keeping the chest open, sending the top hip away, focusing on the positioning. If you then can, we're going to lift the top leg up, okay, and we're going to kick the leg forwards and back in our normal side kick forwards. Then what we can do is hold the leg back in extension, and then as I exhale, I'm going to rotate down. So I've got my left hand behind my head, and I'm going to rotate my ribs down towards the floor and inhale, open back out. Okay, so that's almost like the second stage, that rotation down and back up. And then my final stage is I put them together. So I'm focusing on the shoulder stability of the right side, drawing the elbow in. As I kick the leg forwards, I rotate my rib cage up, so my elbow goes back. And as I kick the leg back, I rotate the elbow down. Those of you that have got the instructor only class of what I did, you'll see that movement in there. So you can have a look back off there. Obviously, we then do the other side, and then we're going to bring in a little bit more into our hip extension. So you're then going to come onto all fours, but I actually want you resting down onto the elbows. Now, there's a reason for this. You know me, normally I like you to have a straight arm. But coming down into the elbows for this movement helps keeping the pelvis quiet. If you come up into the arms to do the movement, it's much harder to control the pelvic stability. So you're gonna bring yourself down onto the elbows and then give me that long diagonal line out through the spine. We're then gonna lift one leg up, and you're gonna then bend at the knee, okay? So the foot goes flat towards the ceiling. But just what you're looking for as an instructor is how close the knee can come in without a shift in the pelvis. So if through having super dominant quads, front of the hip and so on, what happens is as people begin to bend the knee, where they get to their locked position, because the hips won't extend any further, they will begin to let the low back arch and the pelvis go into an anterior tilt to compensate for that. So you've got to watch where is their limit, okay? And we'll work on it again in the next exercise, but watch where their limit is and don't let them go past it. Then what you're going to do is hold the leg position, and as they breathe out, they try and extend the hips, sending the foot up to the ceiling. And again, watch where their restriction comes in. How much can they extend the hip before the pelvis gets dragged into an anterior tilt because they can't open the front of the hip? So this movement here really is to help you monitor and observe and correct and try and get them to really get the pelvic control with the extension of the hip. We're then going to take it to swimming. So bring them down to where the arms are outstretched, legs are outstretched, into your normal swimming position. But then what I want you to do is get them to press down and just draw the arms back so they lift into thoracic extension. So we're beginning to train the shape of one leg kick by holding our thoracic extension. So they're going to push down into the arms and lift the chest up. They'll need to draw the arms back a little, and they're going to then try and hold that position. Now, you want to make sure that they don't lift up too high. We don't want them into the low back. We want them into that just thoracic extension. Now, for some people, that can be a little bit tough on the shoulders. So what you can do is get a mini ball and place it underneath the breastbone to help them lift up into that position. So here, you're really looking at a shape, a really nice shape through the thoracic spine. And then in holding that shape, we're then going to add our, what I call your leg sweeps. So what you're going to do is you're going to turn out at the hips and take the legs out to the sides. And then you turn in at the hips and we pull the legs back in. So another way of thinking about it is you turn the feet out and sweep the legs out. And you turn the feet in and sweep the legs in. Now, depending on how slippy your floor is or their strength, you can either just sort of drift the feet along the floor, or if they've got good hip extension, you can hover the legs. Okay, but remember, to hover the legs, they've got to be able to open the hip with the challenge of the held thoracic extension. Okay, so it's really quite challenging. And then you reverse the leg movement. So we turn in at the hip and go out. We turn out at the hip and come in. So when we've done that, we're going to give the spine a little bit of a treat by letting it flex and go the other way. So we're going to just go into our rolling back. Now again, we're not going to lose our thoracic focus to try and get into the thoracic spine. So what we do is we come into our rolling back position, giving me that beautiful equal C curve through the spine. Hold on to the ankles, but I want you to almost imagine that you're pulling the elbows apart. Now what that does is help you stretch into the between the shoulder blades. So as you breathe in and roll back, that in-breath really helps open up that thoracic area even more, which is why Joe has got rolling back and the breathing pattern he has. So that as you inhale to roll back, you get right into that thoracic area with the breath, and it gets then a massage with the roll, and exhale to come back up. We're then taking it into our finale, which is our one leg kick after all the movement we've done. So we do like a prep first. And again, this is really for you to observe, where can they take the leg before they start compromising with the pelvis? So lying onto their front, forehead resting onto the hands, and legs are long and lengthened behind. Curl the toes under. And then what you're going to do is, as you breathe out, you just press one heel away. So the knee lifts up, you're pushing into the heel, and the leg straightens without any change in the pelvis. And then just bend that knee. The other side, you push the heel away. So you're keeping the toes down at this point, and you're just straightening the leg, finding the hip extension, and then letting it lower back down. So then we add on to that, we take it further. So on the other side again, because we're alternating sides, you press the heel away, straightening the leg, and then just brush the toe long. So we're not really thinking of lifting the leg yet. We're just looking at that control of letting the thigh bone come into extension and the pelvis staying still. The foot comes back down, the knee bends back down. Okay, then we can take it to a more higher level. We let the leg lift up. Okay, then we bend the knee in, but only as far as you can see the pelvis stays quiet. And you've got to say to them, can you feel how you're now wanting to arch your back as we do this? That's your limit. Don't let the leg kick in any further. And then lengthen away and lower back down. So we try and hover the thigh bone up. We bring the foot in. Lengthen away and lower back down. And bring the focus, instead of it being at the foot, to the thigh bone, the top of thigh bone to the hip. That's where you want the opening to happen. Also, as they're doing this, watch that their knees don't begin to flare out. That as they kick in, the knee goes out, the heel comes in, as they sort of rotate the thigh bone out and sit into the outside of the hip where we love to go. You want to keep the inner thigh connected. So really focus that you keep the knees talking to each other. You keep that small space, if necessary, between the knees. Don't let them widen the space and drift out. From there, we can then take it into our full leg kick. So we're lying down prone, but we're on the elbows. But think back to our swimming position. You don't want the elbows necessarily directly under the shoulders. You want the elbows a little bit away so that they can really stay connected into the thoracic spine area, into that extension. And almost imagine you're pulling the chest through the arms as if you're always trying to pull yourself out of a swimming pool so that you keep the activation and the awareness into the thoracic area, the shoulder area, and then down into the low back. And then what we're doing is we're obviously kicking one foot in, lengthening away and lower, going into our one leg kick. You can challenge them to kick a little bit faster, and the switch happens while the knees are bent rather than when the legs are straight. It's sort of a slight change of emphasis. So you kick one leg in and then draw the other leg to kick in, and then let that first leg go straight. So the kick happens while the switch between the leg happens while the knees are in rather than halfway when they're out. And that does increase the challenge, and I hope you know what I'm talking about there. And then finally, finish on a cat stretch. And obviously you can, you know, just articulate through the spine. You can do whatever cat you want, but just really allow the spine to flow through your cat. So that's the plan for the one leg kick, our plan for success. You can obviously pad it out a little bit. So you could add in other exercises, but I hope that doing this as an audio recording has helped, because I think sometimes when I write things down, we sort of don't realize what I've written, or we always assume that it's the sort of cueing that I always use. But the cues here are quite specific to try and get the movement that we want. So please send me in any questions, and you know, I can clarify any areas that you don't quite understand. But I hope that you have enjoyed our one leg